Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I want to thank Mark Chairman Mark Roscoe and the campaign manager Ken Melman, the architect Carl Rove.
Good morning. This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm David Cruz, sitting in for a vacationing Brian Lehrer. That was President Bush in 2004, thanking the architect, his longtime political advisor, Karl Rove, who told the Wall Street Journal today that he's stepping down at the end of the month. We'll talk about Rove and the 2008 political race with U.S. News & World Report's Liz Halloran from Iowa this morning. Liz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, David. Good morning.
So is the Rove resignation a surprise?
Well, White House insiders say it was not much of a surprise that he'd been considering it for some time. However, the timing, I think, is a bit interesting with the GOP presidential candidate sort of running from the White House and running sort of against the Bush White House at this point, trying to convince voters that they are agents of change. Even Mitt Romney, who won the straw poll here on Saturday, continues to talk about the need for change in Washington.
How much does it have to do with the subpoenas for his testimony in the U.S. Attorney's investigation?
Well, the Democrats obviously have already talked about how they think that's part of it and what will happen to him as a private citizen, what implications that might have for these congressional investigations. Rove, in this Wall Street Journal editorial page piece where he announced that he was resigning this morning, says it has nothing to do with that and, in fact, you know, referred to the folks who want his head as the mob, but it sort of remains to be seen how that will affect the subpoenas that he faces.
But we should take him at face value that he loves his family. And
Washington politicians always want to spend more time with their families when they leave Washington, don't they? Mm-hmm. But it is interesting. I mean, in this piece in the Journal, Rove says that I am not a myth. Now, I think it could be argued, though, that he is mythic because he certainly has dominated GOP political thought and tactics over at least the last 6.5 years when he's been in the White House with President Bush. But, you know, his legacy will include these deep divisions that he is somehow credited with helping develop, cultural wedge issues, the Democrats being soft on national defense and terrorism, and he's become quite a lightning rod, as you all know. Mythic, I think you could safely say.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that this marks the end of the Bush administration, the term?
Well, Rove, in his usually optimistic way, has predicted that President Bush's approval numbers are going to rise through the coming year. He's predicting that the Republicans have an opportunity to take the White House. So he's predicting some good things that others in the party perhaps aren't seeing right now.
Here's the 2008 Democratic candidate that Karl Rove thinks will win the nomination, Hillary Clinton, speaking Tuesday in the AFL-CIO debate.
I have stood up against the right-wing machine, and I've come out stronger. So if you want a winner who knows how to take them on, I'm your girl.
This is the stuff that Rove hopes Hillary keeps saying, right?
He does, and actually, Rove is not the only one who thinks that Senator Clinton will be the nominee. She is the focus and has been the focus of all of the campaigns here in Iowa this week, particularly in the straw poll yesterday. Any Republican leader you spoke with, they fully expect that she will be the nominee, and they have to determine how to fight a very strong candidate, but one that Rove thinks is fatally flawed.
So in general terms, do Democrats think this is good news or bad news?
A couple of them I spoke with this morning say that it doesn't really matter much at this point. It's basically a symbolic move. It could potentially help with Rove out of the White House. It could potentially help some of the Republican candidates not have that lightning rod, not have these potentially whatever happens with his subpoenas and his appearances before Congress, whether they'll go through. But basically, they say it's pretty obvious that Republicans are running from the president, and this is an example of perhaps the White House trying to give them a little bit of breathing room.
What is it about Hillary Clinton that makes her so fatally flawed in Rove's mind?
Well, I think that just the the scandals of her husband's presidency, the problems that she had with the Rose Law Firm records, and just her link with the past. He thinks America is ready for change. That's what, another thing that he said in this journal piece announcing his resignation. He thinks that the Republicans can convince voters that a Republican candidate will mean change, and that Hillary Clinton will mean just a return to Clinton, a Clinton White House.
So the more she talks about vast right-wing conspiracies, the better he thinks that is.
I can't read his mind, but I think that it reminds people of the problems of the previous Clinton administration and harkens back to that. Now, Hillary, of course, will make the argument that she's battle-tested. She says she has the scars to prove it. And indeed, Newt Gingrich was out here this weekend, and he thinks that the Republicans have to come up with a pretty tough campaign because she has managed to repel a lot of criticism and continue to do well in the polls, even though her negatives can be very high.
What's the general consensus among Republicans about this? Is there one about Roe leaving?
I don't think that it's developed yet. I think that some of them may have expected it. The resignation comes at the end of August. The White House chief of staff wanted folks who were going to leave the administration to do so before Labor Day, or else stay through the end of the term. And so I don't know that there's a consensus about what this means or doesn't mean at this point. But it did play a bit. It is playing a bit here in Iowa, where the straw poll was held on Saturday, which was a very interesting, I don't know if you're familiar or your listeners are familiar with the Iowa straw poll, but it's like an enormous carnival where Republican voters are basically given tickets to attend this event and vote for candidates for the nomination. And Romney made quite a win, but Mike Huckabee surprisingly came in second.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. So do you think that Roe is done? I mean, we don't expect that he's going to be the architect for anybody else's political home.
He says he's not going to be doing any political consulting. Some Democrats this morning sort of speculated whether he would quietly help one or more of the candidates, potentially Mitt Romney or someone else who's in the race or may get in the race later, Fred Thompson. It's not clear. He says no. He says he's going home to write books, potentially, you know, work at a conservative think tank. So time will tell on that one.
So the big news from the 2008 campaign over the weekend was the Republican side with the Ames, Iowa straw poll, which seems to have actually resulted in some clear winners and losers. Mitt Romney got the most votes, and Tommy Thompson dropped out of the race last night after his poor showing. Let's listen to Mitt Romney.
Today, the people of this great state sent a message to America, and that is that change begins in Iowa.
We were talking a little bit about what is this straw poll. Explain it a little bit.
It is held on presidential election years in Iowa when there is a battle for the nomination. For example, when George Bush ran for a second term, there was not a straw poll because he was the putative nominee. Mm-hmm. What happens is the campaigns come to Iowa, they organize supporters, they buy $35 tickets for them to come to this event, which is an all-day event at which it's like a carnival. They set up tents, they set up rides for the kids, they give out free food, and then they hope that these people who they have bought the tickets for will vote for them in the straw poll.
And the candidates have bought those tickets, right?
To a large extent, yes. Now, some of the smaller campaigns, you know, Ron Paul, and the smaller campaigns, they don't buy the tickets. But Mitt Romney, for example, is estimated to have spent $1 to $3 million in Iowa getting folks out to the straw poll.
How did this become such a significant poll?
It's really the first test. It's the first time that voters actually cast ballots for a presidential candidate. It was somewhat diminished this year because Rudy Giuliani, John McCain did not participate, and either did Fred Thompson, who obviously has not announced he's running yet, although folks still expect him to. So the effect of it was somewhat diminished. What it typically does, though, is, as you said, weed out the weaker candidates who can't put together the organization in Iowa to get voters out. And what it does for the winners, I guess you could consider Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee. I'm not sure about Sam Brownback, what this does for him. He finished third. But it helps them organize their supporters to get out to the Iowa caucuses in January.
Has it predicted winners before?
It has, but more often than not, it just weeds out the weaker organizations. Tommy Thompson, as you said, stepped out, and it's not clear. Some are predicting that Sam Brownback's organization may have to step out too. It's not clear. But
right.
Go ahead.
Somebody said it's not a kingmaker; it's a peasant maker.
That's a pretty good way to put it, actually. That's a pretty good way to put it.
So former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee finished second, but here he is on Fox Sunday talking victory.
I mean, you got to admit, for what we had to work with, the resources we had, for us to surge coming in second is the victory. It is the story.
Is this a case of defying expectations?
He was not expected to finish second. He
yeah.
says he spent about $150,000 in Iowa organizing his supporters. He did not hire buses. The Romney folks and the Brownback folks had buses where they brought supporters in. Brownback, I believe, said he spent around $370,000. So for Huckabee, it was a surprise, and he was sort of ordained the winner of the night because everyone expected Romney to do so well because
right.
he'd been organizing for so long. But this does certainly give Huckabee a boost. Now, whether or not that will, you know, translate when the other top-tier candidates become more involved in the campaign as it goes to the caucuses, we'll have to see.
Yeah, you mentioned front-runner Rudy Giuliani and John McCain and Fred Thompson did not take part in the straw poll. What's their reason for that?
Giuliani is not the type of Republican candidate at this point that attracts this really hardcore GOP party support. McCain has also had difficulties in the past in Iowa, and I think at the point they decided to do that was several months ago, and they just didn't think they would do well.
Yeah. Here's Mitt Romney on Fox News Sunday explaining why the fact that they didn't participate shouldn't matter.
I think if they thought they could have won, they'd have been here. And if you can't compete in the heartland, if you can't compete in Iowa in August, how are you going to compete in January when the caucuses are held? And then how are you going to compete in November of 08?
You sort of expect to hear that from him, but does that resonate with anyone else?
Well, what he said is, you know, they didn't compete because they didn't think they could win.
Right.
Probably is true. Rudy Giuliani, for one, has a different strategy. You know, Mitt Romney's strategy is to do very well in Iowa and in New Hampshire in the early states so that he can raise his national profile and keep the campaign moving. Giuliani's strategy is somewhat different, focusing on larger states where he probably has a better chance of picking up delegates in a larger sense.
Rudy Giuliani had a surprise in New York Magazine this week. He says he would consider his former police commissioner and ultimately bitter rival, William Bratton, for Homeland Security chief. Any thoughts on that?
Interesting. They described it as an extraordinary olive branch. Now,
yeah.
That olive branch had already been extended several months ago when after, I guess it had been about a decade since the two had spoken. Giuliani traveled to Los Angeles, where Bratton is a police chief, and basically, you know, had achieved some sort of detente with his former police commissioner. And as, of course, you remember, Giuliani fired Bratton, or asked him to resign, I guess is a better way of putting it, in the 90s because he felt Bratton was taking too much credit for their crime-fighting program. Now, it's not clear whether Rudy is trying to keep Bratton close to him now to avoid any controversy or criticism from Bratton. But it's also interesting that Rudy's campaign is based on the crime reduction, his leadership in New York to reduce crime, and on 9/11. And Bratton was a big piece of that first part, that crime reduction.
But also, ex-New York police commissioners don't tend to make good national Homeland Security candidates.
And it was interesting that he mentioned that, too.
Yeah.
Mentioned Bernie Kerik in that article. And Bernie Kerik could be a thorn in Giuliani's side as he continues through the campaign.
So it says something then about Giuliani's strategy, the law and order mayor and the you know, America's mayor, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And there are groups out there, as you probably know, the International Firefighters Union has produced a video criticizing Giuliani for his 9/11 mm-hmm. performance, for his treatment of the fire department, for what happened at Ground Zero, in the health risks down there. And so there's already things brewing out there to sort of tear down what they consider the Rudy Giuliani myth. Yeah. Now, so I would think that Giuliani, in bringing Bratton closer to him, is trying to solidify his credentials and bring the people who were involved with him in these things closer so he can have a stronger stand against folks who are going to try to tear down
and insulate
his
himself,
hero image.
Insulate himself a little bit from
exactly,
that.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
All right, here's Mike Huckabee again, this time from Face the Nation, using a biblical analogy.
We're, in fact, in the first tier, I think, by anybody's estimation, and here's why. It wasn't just that we surprised people with a second showing. It's that we did it with so few resources. I mean, this really was feeding the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. An amazing kind of day for us.
He's a Southern Baptist minister, right?
He is.
Yeah.
And he and Sam Brownback have been really battling hard over that Christian conservative wing of the party. And that's why this win was so, or this win, I'm even referring to it as win.
Right.
His finishing above Sam Brownback in the straw poll means so much to him. And it's interesting because at Sam Brownback's area, the candidates all at the straw poll have tents and, as I said, parties and such. Sam Brownback had a big tent, and it was really much like a religious revival. There were Christian bands. There were all sorts of all sorts of pro-life people speaking, and it was very almost charismatic type Christian revival type of event. And Huckabee, on the other hand, was playing with his band, playing Sweet Home Alabama, and he has a little bit more fun. And but both of them are scrambling for that.
Yeah. So any other surprises? Fred Thompson did okay, considering he's not even officially in the race, right?
I guess. I think it was interesting that of the 11 candidates who were on the ballot, that John McCain finished 10th, ahead of only an Illinois politician by the name of John Cox. Mm-hmm. Now, McCain, when they announced his total, there were boos in the hall. So boos as in people booing.
Oh.
And Duncan Hunter, who finished 9th, was seen exulting later that he had defeated John McCain
right.
in the straw poll. So.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. We've been talking with Liz Halloran, senior writer for U.S. News and World Report. Liz, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
When we come back, we'll switch to the Democrats and talk about the recent debate sponsored by the gay network Logo. David Cruz for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.